Walter. The evening meal has been over only a little while as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find three gentlemen of our acquaintance. Mr. Victor Gook lounges in his easy chair beneath the floor lamp. Young Mr. Rush Gook is established at the library table. And Mr. Orville Weeney, apprentice gas meter reader, disposes himself comfortably on the Davenport. Our friends are chatting idly about nothing in particular. And at the moment, one of them is saying,
I think of my brains as pretty much resembling a saucer of marshmallows.
Well, I think of mine as looking like telegraph wires strung along on the ground after a big storm.
You guys are certainly having one intelligent conversation.
I expect we sound like a couple half-wits.
You are generous in your estimates.
I don't mind a little fathead chat once in a while. A person talks smart all the time, and their brains runs a chance of getting lopsided.
I agree with you on that point, Rush. I make an effort not to talk smart all the time myself. I don't think people want to hear a man say nothing but smart remarks. Jealousness crops up of a man don't say nothing but smart remarks. I try to talk intelligent 50% of the time, and other 50% I intentionally talk like a numbskull.
How are you talking now?
Like a numbskull.
Okay, Orville, you're all right.
Yes, indeed.
It's nice in the neighborhood.
Hey, hi-ho-ho, Dr. Speak.
Washing and wiping the supper dishes took Mom a long time this evening.
You weren't helping her?
She threw me out of the kitchen.
Why?
I dropped the gravy boat Aunt Bess gave us for Christmas and broke it.
Excitement in the neighborhood. Oh, hello, Orville. I got the impression somebody was in here besides just Mr. Gook and Rush. Seemed like more voices talking than just the two of them.
Good evening, ma'am. I've been here 15 minutes, I guess. I was walking past the house, and I seen Rush standing in the front window with his head pressed against the glass. So I thought I'd stop and say hello.
I'm glad you did.
Yes. Yeah. Makes it nice for everybody. You see me, and I see you.
You say there's excitement in the neighborhood, kiddo?
I've got an awful strong feeling there is. I just saw Miss Harris run across the alley to Miss Kessler's. She was carrying a great big onion. And a minute later, I saw Miss Neesuffer run across to Miss Hunter's. She was carrying a dresser scarf. And a minute after that, I saw Miss Donahue whip around the house and scoot across the street to Miss Call. She was carrying a scrubbing brush.
What do you feel?
If there's not excitement pent up in that bunch of actions, I'll throw out with you.
The expression is throw in, Mom.
What?
The expression is throw in. I'll throw in with you. You said throw out. I'll give you a laughable example in connection with this topic. Well, Bluetooth Johnson started out to use the expression, I'll throw in with you, and finished up by not saying either throw in or throw out, but
Rush,
throw...
Rush, you do this to me all the time, and I get good and tired of it. I talk, and you interrupt.
Be quiet, Geraldine.
No, if there's not excitement pent up in that bunch of actions, I'll throw out with you. There's thunder and lightning in the atmosphere.
Oh, it lightning and thundered when I was on my way over here.
Yes, it did. I noticed it out the pantry window. It's breathing up a storm, and storms this time in September are severe, electrical as a horse.
I've heard that.
This is the 19th of September, and it was on the 19th of September that Reverend Harold Kidney Slide got caught between two cyclones and ended up in Tazewell County rolling down the road in the shape of a hoop.
Whoa.
Yes, you knew about that, Dad.
Well, I'd heard that Reverend Kidney Slide got caught between two cyclones. Well, I certainly never heard they found him rolling down the road in the shape of a hoop.
Well, it was pretty much hushed up. Never seemed quite dignified for a minister to pass away in such a kind of a frivolous manner.
The two cyclones twisted him into a wheel?
People in Tazewell County thought he was a wheel. He blazed through town going at the rate of 50 miles an hour. Different witnesses
well,
say...
Well,
I don't want to talk about this. There's excitement in the neighborhood. A person can feel it. It lightninged and thundered several different times since 6 o'clock. And then the neighbors started tracing around in the queer, funny way I described.
You connect up the atmospherical disturbances with these human machinations?
What?
You feel that the lightning and the thunder exercises influence on Mrs. Kessler and Mrs. Harris and Mrs. Donahue and Mrs. Call and Mrs. Neesuffer?
Oh, I'm not superstitious and silly, but it could be that way. At least I'm not the person that feels they're qualified to get up and make a statement. It couldn't be that way.
Oh, I agree with you, Miss Brooke. I'm not superstitious myself, but you don't catch old Argo Wheeney smashing any looking glasses or walking underneath any ladders or investing $39,000 on Friday the 13th. Find old Argo Wheeney keeping his $39,000 tucked in his pants pocket till Friday the 14th. Old Argo Wheeney may be a half-wit, but old Argo Wheeney's looking out for old Argo Wheeney to the point where old Argo Wheeney's not going to let old Argo Wheeney... You want to say something, Royce?
Are you talking about old Orville Wheeney?
I'm talking about old Orville Wheeney.
I got the impression you were talking about old Orville Wheeney.
Oh, my.
Go ahead, kiddo. If these guys interrupt any more, I'll knock their heads together.
Oh, I'm not superstitious and silly. Maybe lightning and thunder has influence on people, and maybe they don't. I'm not the one to say. Anyhow, I saw Miss Harris run across the alley to Miss Kessler's. She was carrying a great big onion. I noticed Miss Eastupper run across to Miss Husher. She was carrying a dressing scarf. I noticed Miss Donahue scoot over to Miss Call. She was carrying a scrubbing brush.
Well, what's the significance of it?
I don't know what the significance of it is. All I know is that there's excitement in the air.
Well, how about the articles the ladies were carrying?
Well, that was a big, enormous giveaway.
Huh?
See, when the atmosphere is crackling with electricity and the lady simply has to run across the alley to her neighbor's house or explode, she grabs some article to return.
You mean some borrowed article?
Yes, but that's just the excuse. She grabs anything that's in sight. Why, just last Thursday, a week ago tonight, Miss Kessler come racing in here with a cup of brown sugar. Did I have to have that cup of brown sugar back just at that particular time? I did not. Miss Kessler just used that cup of brown sugar as a ticket to get in here and see what was going on. Ladies grab something, see, when there's excitement. They don't care what they grab, they just grab. Oh, there's excitement. There's brisk and crackling electrical excitement, and the ladies have grabbed for stuff and got moving.
Well, my sister often sits down at the dinner
what,
table
Rush?
And...
Orville has spoke.
What, Orville?
Oh, this wasn't much. I just started to remark that my sister often sits down at the dinner
table.
Has
the real significance of this excitement occurred to you yet, Vic?
No, I guess it hasn't.
We're in the middle of it.
Hmm?
We're surrounded by it. We're the center of it. We're hemmed in with it. I can tell when I look out my pantry window and see my neighbors race around like chickens with their heads off, but not one of them comes in to see me.
Oh, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. I don't hear anything.
Don't you?
No.
Listen.
Hey, honey.
Oh, there's your uncle, Miss Brooke.
Yes, Orville.
Anybody home?
We're in the living room, Uncle Fletcher.
Is Uncle Fletcher the big excitement, you think, Mom?
I wouldn't doubt it. Did you notice the tone of his voice?
Oh, son, you kiddo. You can't wait to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Good evening, Uncle Fletcher. Come in and sit down. Take a load off your feet.
Look, honey. Who all are present? Freddie and Rush, I see. Hello, Freddie. Hello, Rush.
Hello, oh, Uncle Fletcher.
You're the gas meter reader chap, aren't you, lad?
Yes, I am.
Everybody except you, Vic, and you, Sadie, had better go down cellar.
What's wrong, Uncle Fletcher?
Something dreadful has happened. Something unbelievably dreadful has happened.
Now back again to the small house halfway up in the next block. Uncle Fletcher, who burst into the living room with a grave and startling announcement, isn't having considerable success making himself clear. His explanations are disjointed and unsatisfactory. And Vic, seeking to bring order out of chaos, is demanding.
You rush in here shouting something dreadful has happened, and when we ask you what in thunder the trouble is, the only answer is meals.
Meals, meals. You appreciate what meals is.
I have a fair understanding of the expression, I think.
Vic, honey, I am your niece.
No, you're not.
I mean, you're my niece.
Wrong again. Maybe we better take first things first. You're not my niece, and I'm not your niece.
Once we get that understood, we can move to other issues.
Let me, Dick. Sure. Uncle Fletcher, you're excited.
It's my meal.
Something dreadful has happened, and it's your meal?
I never said that.
Well, you haven't said anything much, Uncle Fletcher. You know, there's something familiar sounding about all this. It reminds me of the time your landlady, Miss Keller, went to visit her brother in Dismal Seepage, Ohio.
Yes,
and left your meals distributed all over the house for you to eat while she was away.
Yes, that's what I told you.
No, you didn't, Uncle Fletcher. You just thought you told us. You were excited.
I bet I spoke the word meals 49 times in the last 6 minutes.
Well, sure, but you never elaborated any. Now, let me ask a question. Is your landlady planning another visit to Dismal Seepage, Ohio?
No, we're getting someplace.
Well, it's about time.
My landlady is planning a visit to Dismal Seepage, Ohio, and she's about decided to stay all winter.
Oh, really?
November, December, January, February, and March.
Well, isn't
she going to make up all the meals for all that time?
Dick, honey. Dick, you talk.
All right. Does your landlady plan to lay out your meals all over the house while she visits in Dismal Seepage, Ohio?
How many meals would that be, Rush? You're handy with figures. How many meals are there in November, December, January, February, and March?
Well, I'll figure it up.
My landlady, Miss Keller, goes to visit her brother in Dismal Seepage, Ohio, and she distributes my breakfast and dinners and suppers all over the half-wit lame brain house.
Uncle Fletcher, I don't think you can make another big dramatic to-do over that. It furnished you enough dandy excitement last month. And I remember you were happy and satisfied to eat the food Miss Keller laid out. You ate it and liked it.
How many meals in November, December, January, February, March, Rush?
450.
450, eh? Sadie, how would you like to have 450 meals laid out for you in advance? How would you like to have meals cluttered up every chair and table and shelf and cupboard and wash bench and cistern lift?
Uncle Fletcher, I don't think you're telling the exact truth.
Rush, how many meals in 15 years?
Gosh, Uncle Fletcher, that's quite an order.
Pick me up. How many meals in 15 years?
Okay.
Is your landlady going away for 15 years and laying your meals out in advance?
Gee, what? I wouldn't put it faster. How many meals in 20 years, Cooney?
My name is Queenie.
How many meals in 40 years? 50 years? 60 years?
I don't know.
15,425, Uncle Fletcher.
That's for how many years?
15 years, 3 meals a day.
Tell me the grand total again.
15,425.
Baby, how would you like to have 16,425 meals laid out in advance? Wouldn't that be appetizing to have 16,425 meals laid out in advance all over your house and cluttering up every inch of floor space? Meals piled on top of meals clear to the ceiling? Meals on top of 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 numbskull, lame-brained, fat-headed meals.
Now, you listen to me a minute. Is your landlady, Miss Keller, leaving you for 60 years with meals laid out in advance?
No.
Well, is she leaving you for 50 years?
Of course not.
40 years? 30 years? 15? 10?
I'm just from Sapple.
Oh, she does plan to spend the winter in Ohio, though, huh?
She's pretty sick and mighty serious on it.
If she does spend the winter in Ohio, this and her brother, will she lay out 5 months' meals for you to eat?
She'll lay out 2 weeks' meals for me to eat.
2 weeks, huh?
Yes. If you get with meals on the wash bench, on the windowsill, on the drain board.
So this has been a tempest in a teapot after all. You've marched in here with enormous, loud, dramatic talky talk about unbelievably dreadful things happening, and all it amounted to was a minute.
My landlady, Miss Cover, is laying out 2 weeks' meals for me to eat, and then she's throwing me up for grabs.
Throwing you up for grabs?
She's farming me out. She's dividing me up. She's throwing me to the yapping wolves, which pursues the bobsled through the snow. She's playing on me like a pipe organ where the great musician pulls out the stops and shoves in the goals and the melody comes swelling and foaming into the auditorium.
All right, you've made another fancy speech.
Sadie, honey, I am being thrown up for grabs.
You said that.
2 weeks after Miss Cover is gone, I've consumed the meals distributed around the house. I go to Miss Harris's house for a meal. Then I go to Miss Johnson's house for a meal. I eat my supper at Mrs. Kneesupper's, and my breakfast the next day at Miss Wilson's house, and my dinner at Miss Donaldson's house. I stay 3 days at Miss Kessler's house. I stay 4 days at Miss McDonald's house. I stay a week over on West Chestnut Street with the Cunningham family. The first 2 weeks in December, I stay with a couple I never even heard of over on University Avenue.
Oh, really, Uncle Fletcher?
I've got a numbskull, fathead, lame brain schedule. Takes me all through November, December, January, February, and March.
With Pete's sake.
Well, Miss Keller is going pretty far this time.
If I ever have a landlady that lays down the law that free...
Why, I got one date on my schedule where I go out of the state for a week and fetch my money. I climb on the train, travel 240 miles.
Oh, what state is it, Mr. Royce?
I don't recall the name of the state. I don't recall the name of the town. I don't even recall the name of the people. They're all on my schedule.
Well, may I see your schedule, Uncle Fletcher?
I haven't got it, Sadie. I tore it up. I was in a towering fury.
Huh?
Miss Keller's got a copy. Maybe she's got a million copies. Maybe she's having them printed up to throw on people's front porches.
Well, you mentioned the names of several of my close neighbors, Uncle Fletcher. Miss Donahue, Miss Harris, Miss Kessler, Miss Kneesuffer.
They're all in on it.
You mean your landlady has gotten in touch with those ladies and tried to make a deal with them?
Sure.
She's asked them to arrange to furnish you meals and a bed on different occasions while she's away in Ohio?
Sure.
At a price, I suppose.
Of course at a price. I go on paying Miss Keller my rent the same as I always have. Her deals with these other women is all strictly private.
Yes, go with some.
It accounts for all my neighbors trotting around the backyard racing to each other's houses.
You're right in the middle of the excitement, just like you guessed, Ma.
Uncle Fletcher, your landlady apparently is throwing you up for grabs, all right, at a profit. And I agree with you, I don't think it's right.
It's unbelievably good.
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. And I bet 5 cents Miss Keller herself don't see a thing wrong with it.
Oh, she don't see nothing wrong with splitting a man into tiny particles and strewing him all over the Netbrook community like a fathead handful of numbskull confetti.
I think she thinks she's behaving perfectly all right. She considers you her roomer.
Oh, your roomer, yes. But am I a trained monkey? Am I a sack of cement to be thrown over somebody's shoulder and treated like a box of sardines?
She looks on you as her roomer and pretty much her private property.
Feels she can send me to the northwestern part of eastern South Dakota to eat my tomorrow morning breakfast, huh?
Yeah.
She feels I can eat my dinner in Arkansas, huh? And then taste down to Michigan for my supper, huh?
Something like that, yeah.
I maintain that this situation is unbelievably good.
I see how you mean, Uncle Fletcher.
Vic, Miss Harris wouldn't be interested in any nonsense like that. And neither would Miss Kneesuffer or Miss Donahue. Miss Kessler would, though.
Yeah?
Miss Kessler would like to have Uncle Fletcher as a paying boarder all winter and have all that money for herself.
Ivy,
lady.
Y'all, Miss
Jones?
Miss Kessler herself, by
George. Yeah. We're in the living room, Miss Kessler.
I'm returning you your ringer.
What?
I'm returning you your ringer.
Oh, for goodness sake. My ringer. See, Vic, it's like I said about ladies grabbing for stuff in their excitement.
Uh-huh.
And do I need my ringer on a Thursday at this time of the evening?
No.
Say, how's the weather out, lady? Is it going to rain? I noticed when I was doing my supper dishes that lightning and thundered once or twice.
It hasn't started to rain yet. Yes, I noticed myself a few streaks of lightning. I said, I bet.
Why, company. Why is it I always burst in when you have company? Good evening, Mr. Gurk.
You can hardly call me company, Miss Kessler.
That's right.
I live here.
I know you don't.
You know I don't what?
I know, but I know that the winds do blow. That's an old saying that was a great favorite of my brother's when he was alive. Rush, how are you?
Fine, thank you, Miss Kessler.
And Melville, isn't it?
Orville.
Oh, of course, Shovel. You keep well, Shovel?
Orville.
Grand.
Yes, indeed.
And Mr. Rush over there. I didn't see you at first, Mr. Rush.
I don't say a great deal, ma'am. I'm quiet.
Miss Brooks, I returned you your ringer.
Isn't that a fly swatter, Miss Kessler?
Why, of course it is. Stupid of me. How is that for carelessness, Shovel?
Horrible.
I thought I was bringing over Miss Brooks' ringer, and I brought over a fly swatter instead.
That isn't my fly swatter, Miss Kessler.
Isn't it really?
No. And you must be thinking about somebody else's ringer. You never borrowed mine. Mine is down cellar.
Well, forevermore, where is my head today? I haven't any more brains than an Orville.
Sugar.
Of course. Shovel is what I meant. I beg your pardon, Melville.
Orville.
Oh, I am confused. You keep well, do you, Mr. Rush?
Sometimes I suffer great agony.
That's grand.
I scream with pain and shout for the doctor.
That must be a great satisfaction to you.
And it is. I spend all day sitting outdoors on the cistern with giggling and tittering.
I think good health is such a wonderful thing.
Man can't
leave it. Mr. Rush, I understand your landlady is thinking about a visit to the West.
East.
Plans to visit her aunt?
Brother.
California?
Ohio.
Indianapolis.
Isn't sleepy.
Stay a month?
Stay all winter.
Her brother's a carpenter.
He's a plumber.
Three children?
Five.
All boys?
All girls.
Well, I knew I had the facts fairly straight.
You have them straight as a string, ma'am.
Mr. Rush, I was talking to your landlady on the telephone today.
I wouldn't be surprised.
She outlined her plans for you during her absence. She plans to be gone, as I understand it. Did you say all winter?
November, December, January, February, and March.
I got the notion she planned to send you to Mrs. Davis's for a while, and Mrs. Jackson's for a while, and Mrs. Neesupper's for a while, and Mrs. Donahue's for a while, and Mrs. Wilson's for a while, and Mrs. McDonald's for a while, and Arkansas for a while, and Minnesota for a while, and Missouri for a while, and several other places. I was thinking you might find it more convenient to come and board at my house the entire length of time. See, at my house, you'd have the use of a lunar scope.
What's that?
A thing to look at the moon through. You hold it up to your eye and look at the moon. My brother that died bought it at the St. Louis World's Fair. And also at my house, we have part of a cornet.
I can't play part of a cornet.
I could maybe send away for the mouthpiece, bell, plungers, and pipe.
I can't play a whole cornet.
We have a canary at my house and a set of seashells. You hold them up to your ear and it sounds like Lake Erie.
I could hold that lunar do funny up to my eyes and look at the moon and hold the other thing in my jig up to my ear and hear Lake Erie and really knock myself up.
Seriously, though, Mr. Rush, wouldn't it be more home-like to spend the winter in one single home rather than spend a few days here and a few days there and a few days the other place? Running off to Arkansas and Minnesota and Missouri and everywhere?
That isn't going to happen, Miss Tesla.
It is your uncle's landlady's carefully worked out plan.
I'm afraid my uncle's landlady didn't take my uncle into very much of account when she worked out her plan.
She seemed to be familiar with her business, quite determined.
Maybe a little too familiar and determined. Miss Kessler, if my uncle's landlady does decide to spend the winter in Ohio, my uncle will come and live here with my family and me.
Good, Ma.
Well, what do you say, Vic?
You bet your life. I'd have thought of it in another minute myself.
What do you say, Uncle Fletcher?
Well, guess he's not going to say anything.
No, Ma, he's not going to say anything.
Well, certainly wasn't my intention to come over here and make anybody cry.
Small house halfway up in the next block. Mrs. Kessler seems in the point of departure. She's saying,
I never meant to stay this long. I'll pick up my ringer and trot back home.
Well, that's your fly swatter, ma'am.
Yes, my fly swatter. Well, I do have to go.
Well, don't rush away, Miss Kessler.
I ought to be getting this fly swatter back home.
I'll go with you, ma'am. Time I ducked up the alley and headed for the roost myself.
Well, it was nice seeing you, Mrs. Kessler.
You too, Orville.
Not at all.
Come back again.
I will.
Well, I'll be back tomorrow.
Just any time, Orville.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Mr. Rush.
Goodbye, ma'am.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Bye. Well, here we are, people.
Sure enough.
Just a private family, just the four of us.
We had some excitement.
A little, yes.
You suppose it was caused by atmospheric conditions? You suppose it was caused by lightning and thunder?
Well, I'm not the party to say it wasn't.
Rush, step to the window and see if the heavens are turbulent and threatening.
Okay.
No, I'm not the superstitious thing, but I'm like Orville Weenie. I don't slam looking glasses down on the cement sidewalk on purpose. And I don't stalk underneath ladders on Friday the 13th. No, it's not for me to say that thunder and lightning don't influence people's actions.
Well, Uncle Fletcher, you're not saying much.
No, I'm not, Rick. I'm not saying a word. But I'm thinking a lot. There's considerable I could say if I wanted to.
Sure, we know.
Hey, honey. You and Rick.
Oh, yes, Uncle Fletcher, you don't have to say anything. You like us, and we like you. We know that. Not necessary to go into it.
Well, Henrietta, were the heavens turbulent and threatening?
No.
The thunder and lightning of sea?
The stars are on.
Good.
And there's a very bright moon.
Visit at the small house halfway up the next block with radio's home folks, They Can Say. They Can Say It is written by Paul Reimer, directed by Roy Winter. This is Jack Fuller speaking.